Romans 8, we are looking at the leading of the Spirit. We title this Good, Better, Best. Amen. And you can rest. Amen. Romans 8 and verse 14. I need to be fast this morning because we need to ensure that we eat a particular note. You have got to eat that today if I'm going to go by the calendars. Are you there? Romans 8, verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit, what happens to them? They are the what? Huh? When it comes to the leading of the Spirit of God, being Spirit-led, is a subject you can say you have mastered. I'm a very young, I won't say pastor, I'm a young believer. But I know I have taught this particular theme, being led by the Spirit of God, as a sermon, probably over 100 times. As a sermon. And I can tell you that at no point will you say, I've mastered the leading of the Spirit, how God leads. It's something you keep building on. And you must make it high priority. There are many things that will try to lead a believer, but it says the Spirit of God leads us. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the sons of God are led by the Spirit always. Verse 15. We laid some foundations last week, and I'm going to go through that again so that I move ahead. Verse 15. Look at verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father. So, Paul introduces something in the church in Rome. He says, the children of God are led by what? Then he says, verse 15, but it's possible to also be led by fear. And fear does not even mean just fear from yourself. The fear of others can lead. I mean, what other people fear can actually influence another person. Have you seen people run before? And you don't know why they're running. It's always funny, especially if you're Nigerian or you're black. There was a time I traveled. I went to Abuja. And black men, we have an issue. Or blacks generally. People were just running. What they were running from, I don't know. Where they were running to, I don't know. But I ran. Amen. There's just something about, I'll find out later. I'll find out later. I'm not the one that will not go and find out. Because we feel if everybody's running, I should run. And that makes common sense, right? And we're going to look at common sense in the leading of the Spirit, because sometimes God can lead you away from the obvious. But we're going to look at that. Like Daniel. Common sense says, you're already privileged to be in the king's palace. Why not just play along with that? It's God's favor. But God was leading him away from the obvious. You get what I'm saying? And we're going to look at that because this particular, I feel like when people hear the leading of the Spirit, it's always about maybe marriage or should I travel or not. But it cuts across a lot of things more than that. And you need to find it. You need to apply it in your life. It's going to save you from a lot of troubles. Alright, so fear, people can be led by fear. What is fear? Panic. Panic is a level of fear. Panic can turn to dread. I mean, when you start to dread something. But I'm not led by fear. Come on, I'm not led by fear. See, the enemy uses fear as a tool to mislead. I remember that I've shared this, I don't know if I've shared this before, but I should have. There's a sister in this church. So this is not a private matter. And she came to me and said, oh, I've been having particular dreams about this. Things are going to collapse. Things are going to, and I'm going to die. At some point, audible voices that I'm going to kill you. At some point, it was now getting visualized. You see someone pass. And you can't see them anymore. You're sleeping and someone is touching you. And I said, if the devil wants to really kill you, next time the voice says, I'll kill you, say, why have you not done it? Next time you hear that voice, I say, I'll kill you, say, why have you not done it yet? You see, the devil needs your permission. He will need to convince you Because he can't take what he didn't make. He will need to convince you to side with him, and the instrument to do that is fear. So you must be careful not to allow fear to lead you. Don't make choices based on fear. Don't make decisions based on fear. Or some accents we call it fear. Whatever which one. I'm no longer a slave to fee, whatever fee means. Is it school fee? Let's call it fear. You don't fear. Hallelujah. So if you don't like my accent, I deal with it. Verse 16. The Spirit itself, so it tells you how God leads us now. Can we read verse 16 together? Everybody want to go? The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? The children of God. So, how are we led by the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God bears witness with... So, God talks to me internally. Can I hear an audible voice that says, my son? Yes. But that's not the primary way God is going to talk to you. The Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit. And you will understand it somehow. It might not be the same way we all understand it, but you understand it somehow. You see, man is a spirit confined to this body. And one day, your body will be redeemed. So if you don't like your body, try to like it now. Because this is your body forever. Amen. Come on. Amen. Don't bleach it. It's your body. Don't say, if you don't like, I don't like my body. You will like it when the glory of God passes through it. Amen. When it's redeemed, you will love it. You're going to see, you're going to see your grandmama, and you're going to say, whoo, have you checked the mirror recently? That's if she is saved, amen. Your body has been bought. Well, it doesn't mean you are your body. At least not now. You are primarily a spirit confined to a body. Are you getting me? Come on, are you getting me? So, the Spirit of God communicates to your spirit. Your mind, it talks. See, listen. Your mind is not your brain. If your brain is taken away, you still got your mind. In Luke 16, you remember the story of Lazarus, Abraham, and the rich man? Huh? If you remember the story, can I see your hands? Okay, let's quickly go through it then. Luke 16. So I'm led by the Spirit of God. How? How does he lead you? Eh? His spirit what? Bears witness. What witness? There's a communication, right? His spirit says something to my spirit, and my spirit understands. So, as a child of God, you can't say, I don't know what God is saying. I can't really fathom it. No. The Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit. Let that be settled in your mind. Luke 16, let me show you something. Verse 19. There was a certain rich man that was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he ate well every day. He was fine. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Now this is funny because he still called him a beggar. One day we're going to look at that. Because that's too intentional. It's a certain beggar. One can get so accustomed to something, it becomes an identity. Certain beggar. Even though he's saved, even though he's now in paradise, certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, desiring to be fed with crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died. Everyone will die. Once that is settled, take away the fear of death. Everyone will go at different times. And death is not the end. The rich man also died. Well, I will probably talk a bit more into that today. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So, even though the rich man has died, he still sees Lazarus. Verse 24. Can we verse 24, 25 together, everybody? And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus. I may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Lazarus said, son, remember, when you are in your lifetime, you receive good things, likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now, he's comforted, and you are what? But Abraham said to the rich man, remember, when he was buried, was his brain also buried? Huh? So what happens Sorry, who knows about it? Is it days now or weeks? How long does it take the brain to merge with the earth, with the soil? But eventually it's going to decay. Right? Come on, it's not going to decay. So the brain as a mass, decayed. And Abraham is still telling the man, remember. So that means the capacity to recall is not taken away after death. The brain could be gone, but the mind remains. Just that without the brain, the mind cannot express itself in this realm. How do you get what I just said now? The mind lacks the capacity to express itself in this form, this earth. But the mind remains without the brain. And God talks to your mind. You can call that the heart. You can call that the spirit. It can recall. So death is not the end. The believer must not see death as the end. To live is Christ. To die is gain. But you will live. Because you have a destiny to fulfill. You know, God told Paul, while he was on that missionary journey on the sea, he said, there's a need for you to appear before Caesar. So Paul knew that whatever was going to happen in that journey, I'm not going to die. It's like, there was a time I was traveling, I have shared this story before, and God already told me what was going to happen. I was going from Lagos to Ibadan, and God already told me what was going to happen. I was going to minister somewhere and pay family visits. And God already showed me something. There was someone who I was going to tell something, and there was someone who was going to be healed. I knew the name, I knew the face, I knew everything. So when the boss was, I didn't have a car then. So when the boss was acting funny, as though there was going to be an accident, I said God was lying. I've already gone to Ibadan. I know things that were happening in Ibadan. I know what's going to happen. So that was like what was happening to Paul. God already told him, you appear before Caesar. So when there was storm and everything was, when the viper fastened itself to his hands, he just, when you're done, you go. I need to appear before Caesar. God already told me, I'll go before Caesar. But you see, when you have a destiny to fulfill, you leave. I say you live. Amen. And you do God's will. Amen. Don't be led by fear. You are going to run your race. And you are going to finish your course. Amen. By God's grace. Amen. I say I pray for you. You are going to run your race. Amen. And you finish your course. Amen. With joy. Amen. You won't lead a frustrated life. Amen. So Paul says, the children of God are led by the Spirit of God because the Spirit of God bears witness with their spirit. They are not led by fear. They are led by an internal conversation. So you need to pay attention to what God is saying to your spirit. Proverbs 3, we were there last week. Learning something? Come on, are you learning something? Proverbs 3. Verse 5, you know that's where we're going to. Verse 5 and 6. I read, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So, where do I trust with the Lord? My heart. That's my spirit, my mind. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will lead and direct your path. So, He's saying, you can trust in the Lord with your heart, or you can trust in your own understanding. There are many things that would aim to lead you. There are people who get the leading of their leading on life from how they feel. I've heard people say, I don't want to go out today. I don't feel. Have you heard of feeling that say, if you use your left leg or right leg? If you are going out and your left leg eats something, go back home. Why? Are you okay? Are you sure? You go back home. But it's always when they are going to work or they are going to school. It's never when they want to go and collect money. It's never payday. When you eat your leg and someone promises you $1 billion, that leg just eats it. I go get there. Or someone say, if you're going and then there's cobweb, why not just dust your house? Why not clean it first? Amen. For there to be cobweb, there have to be spider. Right? For there to be spider, it means you have abandoned that corner. That space. I say, no, Pastor. Life is spiritual. You think I don't know? Why are we in church? Say, life is spiritual. That cobweb, just go back home. You are being led by your body. And while it might have saved people, mind, while it might be good, it's not the best way to be led. You end up with more wrong decisions than right. you end up with more regrets that way. There are people who have missed their spouse. I didn't say there's a spouse written to you from heaven. Don't go and be looking for one person and say, God has written our names together. Nobody. There's nobody God wrote your name together with. Stop finding name. Amen. When I was young, they called my nickname at home is YJ. Yemi Jr. Right? So when I got married, one of my cousins said, you eventually got married to a J. All along, that YJ was God's way. I said, false prophet. Where people will lead you, you go manage. All along, that was prophecy and we didn't know. Okay, all of our name is Oluchi. Y-O. Shibajo. You are not serious. You are just being led by your body, by feelings. You resume the new job. You say, I don't feel welcome here. It's a new job. You don't know anybody there. You are not going to feel welcome. You're just a lazy. I was going to swear for you. You're just lazy. Because you have seen that they are more structured. Everyone is accountable. Nobody's laughing around. But they will laugh around if you know the system. It's just that it's your first day. I don't feel. Someone come to church first time. I don't know. I just don't. It's your first time. What do you expect? No matter how much we laugh at you, you don't see it as real. Because you don't even know who is laughing. You don't know who this person is. Are you getting what I'm saying? Imagine someone come to church and then he's like, the way that brother greeted me, I don't know. He might not like me. And he was talking about Brayo. How you say Brayo does not like you? He likes everybody, don't you? Life of the party. He doesn't really care. The way he was looking at me, maybe Arsenal lost. Which we don't. Amen. By the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We are in the Father's house. We are not led by body feelings. It's not bad. But that's not how God designed for you to be led. You know how God designed it? His spirit bears witness with your spirit. Are you understanding me? There's a pastor. Are you understanding me? You don't even listen to him. Understand me? The Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit. I receive his witness. I hear it. I'm spirit led. I'm not head led. See, no matter how much understanding and knowledge you have about things, you can't have the perfect knowledge. You can know everything, but you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I saw a joke. Someone messaged his investment advisor about his stock. So he said, I just heard the news that the stock market crashed and that this particular portfolio crashed by 15%. The man said, yes. So the client said, were you able to withdraw it before 15%, before the crash? The advisor said, if I had that power, I would not be working for you. If I had the power to know every time it's going to crash, I would not be here working for you to be collecting salary. You can't say, no matter the knowledge you have, you don't have the perfect, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Why not ask the one with the perfect knowledge? Who sees the inside out? He will lead you sometimes beyond your understanding. I remember some years ago, I wanted to do something and I went to pray. When I was done praying, what God told me to do is probably the last thing I'll have considered. It made no sense to my head. I did it anyway and I saw how beautiful that was. Amen. Made no sense. I felt, so I'm going to pray again. You know, there are prayers that you pray. God tells you something, you go and pray again. And say, let me just be sure. When I was like, I prayed again. And the beauty of it is, the more you use the leading of the Spirit, the more you get accustomed to it, you know how God leads you. So, there are things I hear, I don't need to hear twice. I mean, when I heard that, I knew I did not need to hear it twice. But I went back again. Father, say it again. I know, sir. Sometimes I hear in Yoruba. Oftentimes than normal. In Yoruba, I always, almost times in my dialect. So God said, this is exactly what you're going to do. And I said, it makes no sense. But I've told you before, God's spirit can lead you and your understanding will catch up later. Are you getting what I'm saying? Your mind will catch up later, or your brain will catch up later. It doesn't mean we don't use understanding, but it means we are primarily led by God's Spirit. And everyone seated here can be. It's not a special privilege for a few. You can be led by the Spirit of God, and you are led. Amen. Oh, come on. I say you're led. Amen. You don't want it. Every day, I am led by the Spirit of God. I don't lean on my own understanding. I'm not fact-led. I'm spirit-led. Come on. I'm not fact-led. I'm spirit-led. Facts are good, but facts can be misleading. Oh, Pastor, the facts, these are the numbers. These are the statistics. It's backed up by this data. It's good. It's good to have knowledge of a lot of those things. But that can be what influences every time your life decisions. You can't be spirit-led. So it says, trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3:5, with all your heart. That means, we trust in God, not with our head, we trust in God with our heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Don't be led by your understanding, because you don't have a perfect one. In all your ways, acknowledging, and you lead and direct your path. So he said, in all your ways, say all your ways. So that means, we don't just acknowledge God in difficult situations. That's what a lot of us do. Tough things. When the simple things come, come on. I know what to do now. It's common sense. It's not that hard. It's not that difficult to fathom. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. It's admitting, Lord, I need guidance. I don't know enough. I need you. I need your guidance. I need your help. Be my compass. Show me. Show me where to go. Show me what to do. Show me when to do it. Show me how to do it. I don't know too much, Lord. I don't know. I need your guidance. You see, that's humility. Pride is assuming. When you take the role of assumptions to be led, that's pride. Come on. Is this not a normal thing? This is not what everybody does. God doesn't lead you by everybody. He leads you by His Spirit. So, let's eat my notes. Luke 10. Last week we looked at Samuel, right? Was it last week? Samuel, anointing Israel a king. So let's get another person. Luke 10. Well, look at the story of Martha. Mary and Martha. Concerning the leading of the Spirit. And the beautiful thing about, if you look at the John's account of the gospel, John recorded that Jesus loved Martha. That's some CV, man. As he recorded that Jesus loved Martha. We know Jesus loves everybody, right? For God to love the world. But Jesus loved Martha. So, if they ask you, who was the closest person that Jesus would have married? They say, is it Martha? Mm-mm. It's Mass. Jesus loved Martha. But even though honest people can be wrong, good people with good intentions can get it wrong, can make mistakes. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? The most honest person, the best person you have ever known, that you trust, can make mistakes. Just like Martha. Luke 10. Verse 38. Now it came to pass, please look at the Bible. As they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which was also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Tell me verse 40 together. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and he came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her to come and help me. She was frustrated. But frustration is not an excuse not to be led. Just like we looked at Samuel's case, the prophet. Stress is oppression. It's not an excuse not to be led. I was under pressure, Pastor. I was under pressure. It's not an excuse not to be led. As simple as it. You know, when I was seeking admission, some few days ago, I was seeking admission to university. I got a particular university. And there was pressure. You guys know what I'm talking about now. When those days when you want to, not now that, they don't even want to go to school. They just want to be TikTokers. Then, it was competition. Like when you're writing major exams like that, you jam, WAEC, you and your friends are in competition. My first jam, and I had 258, I beat my friends. Because I wrote it while we were writing WAEC. I beat even the Dataiwo, I beat everybody and I was shocked. I remember my mom teasing me. I got home from school, so they already printed, you have to go to Sabah Cafe with the scratch card and print the results. So my primary school proprietor was the one that printed it for me and he has dropped it at home. So when I got home, I was eager. So I asked my mom, what did I get? So she said, first, go and put off your clothes and dress well. I said, oh, what happened now? I was almost crying. She said, what will happen if someone gets less than 200? That was what she said. What will happen if someone gets less than 200? So I went to the floor. Not because I failed it, see. It's because what will happen in the council of elders? How will I defend that I got less than 200? I was already thinking of everything in my head to run away. Where to go and spend all the day? She said, what will happen if someone gets less than 200? I said, now my life has spoiled. She said, shut up. Don't take your result. Which one is it? So she knew how grave it was. So she had to quickly cut the prank. So when I saw 258, I said, and then you didn't, University of Ibadan gave me zoology. They offered me zoology. And I didn't accept it. That's the word offered. I didn't accept it. Then the next year, same thing happened. Another thing was offered. You are under pressure. And I recall at a point, I took I don't want to mention the school. I took the stuff and said, I'm going to get this one. I'm going there. And I said, you're not doing any of that. That's not where you're going to. I said, whoa. It's actually the Polytechnic Ede. I'm not trying to belittle anyone who went to Polytechnic of Ede. So I'm just saying. I look back now and say, Amen. Amen. Because at that point, I was under stress and pressure to go anywhere. And a lot of people did that. But the fact that you're under pressure or stressed, someone is pressuring you to marry. And so because of that, you just took Brother John. Brother John is not the issue. The issue is Brother John might be good, but not be good for you. It doesn't mean that that choice itself is bad. But the journey is designed. And you must not miss it. And you will not miss it. Amen. But, Pastor, his pressure, everybody was, nah. Pressure is not an excuse not to be led. Just like this. She was frustrated. Martha. She was so convinced that Jesus was going to take her side. Why? I think it's obvious that his tomato needs to be sliced. The chicken needs to be boiled. And you can remember that this time around, it was old school cooking. There was no microwave. There was no air fryer. Amen. So that means they were going to gather the wood. They were going to pluck the chickens. Come on. You know, those of us that cook, let's talk. I have to look away from some people. Those of us that cook, let's talk. Amen. Buffet. You don't cook, you make things. Yourself don't know what you want to make. You just bring the ingredients together and they manifest. Don't mind him. But his concussion, I've had it a few times. Bad. Bad. And he will eat it joyfully. I don't know how he does it. So, don't bother cook. You know, you have to make a lot of preparations, right? You do the salad. No, Jesus is in town. You can't just offer him anything, right? And to matter, that is obvious. Mary should not be sitting there. It's so obvious. Who will slice this tomato? I can't do this alone. So she came in so that Jesus might know that it's obvious. But if you are led by the obvious, then you are not led by the Spirit. What's another name for being led by the obvious? Walking by sight. Right? Being led by see. But Pastor, I've got a brain. That's pride. So think you have it all figured out. Humility asks God for direction. Pride assumes. So she asks Jesus, don't you care? That's the word. Or that's the phrase. Which a lot of us do. We accuse the Lord. She was not just angry at Mary. She was angry at Jesus. Don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Never tell the Lord, don't you care? Such an insult. He cares. He has made that known to you in his word. Find out what he wants. Just like disciples. He said, don't you care that we perish? It's a phrase of unthankfulness. And you're not unthankful. Because being unthankful is the work of the flesh. Be thankful. So Martha came and said, obviously, tomato will be sliced. Obviously, we'll have to start a stove or firewood. What else will you do? Those of us are, let's talk. The oil, right? For the chicken. And we have to marinate the chicken well. You understand? Browell. I think Browell cooks, right? Your wife is not in the auditorium. No, I think he cooks. I think he cooks. Well is now the issue. Does he cook well, like all well? No. But Faith's own is not cooking. I'm just telling you that one. It's not cooking. It's making things that be not. As though they were. I believe Martha is a good woman. With good qualities. She's diligent. She's hardworking. She's thorough. But it's better to be led than to be thorough. It's better to be led than to be hardworking. I didn't say being hardworking is not good. The word is better. I didn't say being thorough. Being a good finisher is not good. That's not what I'm saying. The word there is what? Better. It is better to be led by the Spirit of God than to be thorough. Than to be a good finisher. It's more important to be led than to be a hard worker. Be led. Some say, hey, Pastor. Because before you start the firewood, why not ask him? Before you start saying, I want to finish, I have to finish, I'm a hard worker, I get things done. Should you have even done it in the first place? You get what I'm saying now? So, it's better to be led by God's Spirit so that you don't do effectively what you ought not to have done at all. There are fewer things that are worse for a man than to do with sweat what he ought not to have done at all. Imagine you were booked for a 100-meter sprint. And then, you didn't know that it was 100 meters, so you followed the ones that were running marathon. They were going to go the entire field 16 times. Then when you're done, they say, first! But you're not registered for that. Then I say, it's your time, then you heard your name for the 100 meter sprint. You just finished running 16 times around the pitch. That's 400 times 16. 6,400, right? Yeah. You just finished 6,400 meters. Then I say, come and run 100 meters. Sprint. You can't. You have done effectively what you ought not to have done at all. And oftentimes, people now miss their real purpose because they have gone. It's a real harvest. Nothing hurts a man more than when you have gathered an harvest and it comes to nothing. That's not your story in Jesus' name. So Martha said, Jesus, is it not obvious that Mary should be assisting me in the kitchen? She's a good woman, good qualities. Hospitable, right? She's hospitable. Diligent, hardworking. She gets things done. She's a finisher. But we said it's better to be led than to be a good finisher. So that you don't finish what you ought not to have started. I'm not led by what I see. Come on. I'm not led. You're not with me. I'm not led by what I see. I'm not led by the obvious. I'm not led by ads. Look at believers who are led by ads. See an ad. And it's not bad. If I can just... I'm not led by movies. I like the way that guy dresses in that movie. And the way he patterned his family. Film! Someone has collected money and gone home. If you're left, I can't report. They've acted everything. Afa, pastor, crook, drug cartel, courtes. To me, one of the best African actors, the pair, one of the best ever in history, all time. I love them. I'm going to dedicate some time in the year. Later, you just rewatch some Akin Popo movies. Amen. That's better than watching horror movie. I don't know what you're looking for. If you're all those village ones, that they are mischievous. I love it. I know what to expect. They get away with it. They will beat them and they will now plan for the person. We are together. Amen. You can't be led by movies. You can't be led by art. You can't be led by an email. You can't be led by opportunities. Some opportunities are baits. When a fish sees food, it's a good thing. But if it's hanging on a hook, you're in trouble. The unfortunate thing is, oftentimes they're not. The hook is not sin. The sling is not sin. Only the food is sin. I'm not led by opportunities. I believe God for them. I believe God for provision. Amen. Am I in the wrong church? I believe God for provision. To make crooked roads straight. To make things easy for me. But I'm not led by opportunities. I'm not. I'm led by the Spirit of God. Hook, line, sinker. Abi, if you did that, gotcha. The food will hang on the hook. Abi, the fish doesn't see the hook. But the moment it caps, hey, gone. It was led by food. And I'm not led by fear. Whether the things I fear or the things other fear. Amen. Because sometimes people are led by the things that other people fear. Your grandma had this thing. Your mom. Then your aunt. Everybody looks like they had it. Hey. And I look like exactly like that my aunt that had it. You see? So there's a fear already of, is it a family problem? In the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm not led by fear. I'm not led by what happens to others. I'm led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit. I hear His voice loud and clear. I'm a child of God. I've got the Spirit of God. So I'm led by the Spirit of God. I know His voice. The voice of the stranger I don't follow. So look at verse 41. So Jesus answered her. So he said, Martha was being led by the obvious. Mary is here sitting. We need to be slicing tomatoes. Then Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha. Every time Jesus calls people's names twice. Bro, listen. It's a life-changing advice he's about to give you, or counsel. Martha, Martha. You are troubled. You are careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. I believe God is talking to someone this morning. You are too troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. He said that Mary has chosen it to hear the word, to eat the word, to be led by the word. What should Martha have done, Pastor? Proverbs 3:6. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. What should Martha have done? Jesus, we want to start preparing things for you. We want to start making Ofe Owere. Which one is that? What's the name of that one? That white soup. Ofe Nsala. Jesus, will you eat Ofe Nsala? Then Jesus will say, Ofe Gini. Sit down with your sister and hear the word. That way, Martha will save herself of stress. I said it's better to be led than to be diligent. Because you can be diligent with what God did not send you. Many have gone through life frustrated at things that God did not even acknowledge. You need to start a church that God never sent you. God never... That's why people get midway and they are frustrated. Frustrated even before the mission has started. Now some years ago, a young man came to me and said, wanted to start pastoring. He's not a member. I knew him from a bad one. I said, okay. Have you prayed about it? God has led you. Who's your pastor? He said, it's you. Eh? I said, eh? Muji, it's you. I said, don't let us work that way. I said, I cannot pastor you. He said, did you do anything? No, you didn't do anything. The issue is, I'm not aware. You say I'm your pastor. I'm not aware that God is leading you to start this work. Say, I'm your son. You see me? Me say, son. I don't have any son. Amen. In the Lord, I don't get. All of us like this, we are sons. Son to son. Amen. One son is just holding mic. I'm nobody's father in Christ. Hallelujah. You know, that's my father in the Lord. I'm not. Amen. I'm your brother in Christ. When it's time to father, we know. Oh, that gene gone. We are still looking about 2 decades, 3 decades more. Hallelujah. Because the journey is long. The mission is far. We have not done anything. Father for where? Saw a video recently. A young man. I don't know what God has instructed him. But he's not up to 25. I'm telling you. He said, I've told one of my daughters. Bro. bro to bro. You are the daughter. Said, one of my daughters in the Lord. And now that small girl who came. Said, when you have not gotten there, don't act like you have gotten there. You rob yourself of the true glory. Are you listening to me? Bro again will say, when you can walk, crawl. When you can run, walk. When you can fly, run. Don't fly. Maintain a sane estimate of yourself. Lead a conservative life. Especially in ministry. I trust that will bless someone. Martha, what should she have done? In all your ways, acknowledging. Is it making sense? And it will lead and direct your path. So if Martha had gone to Jesus and said, we want to start making this, Jesus would have said, it's not the time for that. The issue was not making things for Jesus was wrong. It was about when you're doing it, how you're doing it. Did he ask you to do it? It can be noble, but it's not God's will. It can be noble. Being hospitable to Jesus is a noble thing, but that was not what God wanted at that moment. Jesus told Martha, you are troubled about many things. And some of us, we do that. We say, I can multitask. There's nothing really called multitasking. Nobody can multitask. What you're doing is doing two things at a time. And you cannot do two things at a time, really. Because when you face this one, you miss out something on this one. You can't do two things really at a time. Amen. The moment you are focused on this one, you say, when you are doing this one, you're not doing this one. And there are things you miss out on this one. And Jesus is telling you, you have troubled about many things. Calm down. One thing is needful. And Mary has chosen it. What did Mary choose? Verse 39. She had a sister, Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. The word sat at Jesus' feet does not mean she sat on the floor. The word sat at Jesus' feet is an idiomatic expression or a figure of speech that means to submit herself. So we see it, they laid money at the apostles' feet. You see it in Acts chapter 2. And all disciples laid money at the apostles' feet. It's not like they brought cash. They now put it at the leg of Peter. No. When they said they laid money at the apostles' feet, it means they sold everything they had, and then the proceeds of it, they submitted it to the church. They committed it and said, it's no longer in our care. It's not in your authority. So, to sit at someone's feet means to submit yourself to that person. Is it making sense? Huh? I've seen people sit down before an high throne. And people now sat on their leg and say, I'm sitting at my apostles' feet. No. It means to submit yourself to the person's teaching, the person's philosophy, ideology, and doctrine. So, he said, Mary sat at Jesus' feet. It means she submitted herself to learn God's word, to follow God's word. Martha should have done the same. One thing is needful. Martha. And you didn't do it. What is needful? Jesus is telling us this morning. To be led by the word. Not to be led by understanding. Not to be led by your feelings. Feelings are good. You say, I saw a cobweb. My face caught a cobweb. I'm going back home. No, that's cute. But you're going to miss out on a lot of things doing that. You're not led by facts, right? You say we're not led by data. It's better to be led than to be intelligent. Yeah? Come on. It's better to be led than to be hardworking. Don't forget, we're not saying being hardworking is bad. The word is better. If you went to primary school, comparative, superlative, Abby? Uh-huh. Comparative, better. Yeah? Those are comparative words. Worse, comparative. What else? Bigger, comparative. Superlative with biggest, worst, best. Amen. English class all over again. So when we say it's better to be led than to be hardworking, we are not saying Christians ought not to be hardworking. Because I know someone who goes and pick that one and say, see that church, they're saying they should not be hardworking. Better. That's the word. It's better to be led than to be hardworking. It's better to be led than to be genuine. It's better to be led than to be a finisher. So that you don't finish what you ought not to have started. And I trust God for your life. That you're not led by fear. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You are not over-impressed in your intelligence. Amen. You are not too smart for God to talk to. Amen. That in the name of the Lord Jesus, you will not miss your way. Amen. You will not finish what you ought not to have started at all. Amen. That the voice of God is clear to you. Amen. His will is plain to you. Amen. And all your life you will fulfill His purpose. Amen. In your dreams you will hear Him. Amen. When you are awake you will hear Him. You are surrounded with His voice. Amen. And with His leading. Amen. You will not miss your step. Amen. You acknowledge Him in all your ways. Amen. and your path will be full of light. You walk in the light as he is in the light. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Can I show your neighbor what you learned?